This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, happy new year to you and yours. Let's hope the 2026 is filled with a Steelers playoff berth and win. Although I'm not optimistic. 412-928-9370, that is the number. What is on your Pittsburgh sports wish list for 2026? I think it starts quite literally immediately, Logan Arblaster. The Pittsburgh sports wish list for this calendar year is that the Steelers FITFO, hopefully you know what that acronym stands for. I can't say it on the air unless you want to use the dump button. Figure it out and not give up 300 rushing yards to Derrick Henry and the Baltimore Ravens like they did pretty much this time a calendar year ago. You know, the Steelers haven't truly hosted a home playoff game since that Jacksonville debacle. I understand that the Browns' home playoff loss in 2020 was in Pittsburgh, but there were no fans in the stands because of COVID. This is a de facto playoff game. This is as big of a playoff game as the Steelers have played in recent years. And, I mean, you look back at some of the postseason, the actual postseason games the Steelers have played in, I have felt atrocious about most of them since 2021, since getting blown out by the Chiefs, since Mason Rudolph having to start in Buffalo, and since the Steelers lost, what, 4 or 5 in a row going into that Ravens game last year. Obviously, this is a regular season game, but it's win or go home. It's as good as I felt if you're going to compare the last 3 actual postseason games to this one. I still don't feel tremendous about the Steelers' chances, but I think because I feel a little bit more confident than the other 3, this is as big as it's been in the last couple of years, especially with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, because I give them a much more fighting chance against these Ravens with Aaron Rodgers at the helm as opposed to Sierra's husband last season.
I feel like everybody would have been moved on already to the offseason like they were the last several years if it wasn't for how the AFC playoff field looks right now. If you would have said going into the year that the Steelers have a chance to face an AFC postseason of no Joe Burrow, no Patrick Mahomes, if you win on Sunday, no Lamar Jackson, when is it going to be this easy again? Because I don't think that it's anything that the Steelers are doing differently this year. Aaron Rodgers has helped a lot. He's in a first-year offense, and he's making it look really good at 42 years old. But just the opponents the Steelers could go up against in the playoffs makes it like if they get in, they have hope. They have hope. Not saying how far they'll go, but they have a better chance than they've had in the past. In this game on Sunday, it comes down to so much just the teams know each other. There's so much historical buy-in with this, where outside of the last two games last year where Baltimore won both games by more than one score, the nine games prior to that, the Steelers had won 8 of those 9 games, all coming down to one score. So all of these games usually between the Steelers and Ravens, they usually come down to the last 2 minutes, and I think this game's going to be no different. I expect this game to be decided in the last 2 minutes of the game, whether Tyler Huntley plays or Lamar Jackson plays.
I agree. You asked me that right before we stepped into the studio. Would I rather have Lamar Jackson or Snoop Huntley play for the Ravens? I don't think it matters because, and Pat was talking about this a little bit in the morning show on my drive in. I caught wind of this part when he was talking about the game. Like, you almost, and again, I don't want to sound too naive when I say this, and if you're a Ravens fan out there listening, you might say, well, you don't know what the hell you're talking about when it comes to John Harbaugh. I understand, and we've seen it in this history, John Harbaugh overcoaching and John Harbaugh overthinking and John Harbaugh trying too hard. I feel like in this game, in this weather, in this rivalry and with these stakes, it's got to almost be impossible for John Harbaugh to overthink this one and not heavily focus the offensive game plan on the best running back in football. One of the, if not the best running backs in football, Derrick Henry. If they do that, it doesn't really matter who's playing quarterback, if it's Lamar Jackson or Tyler Huntley. Obviously, the Ravens are at much more of an advantage with a healthy Lamar Jackson than they are with Tyler Huntley.
100%.
But in this game, and what the Ravens should do offensively, I don't think there's much of a difference.
Well, yeah, and last week was the first time, I think, Jack, that Baltimore called plays how they should. They were kind of doing a split backfield, and you have arguably still the best running back in the NFL when he's playing at his best. He had a few fumbles early on in the season, which I think deterred them away from Henry, and it shouldn't have. It shouldn't have at all. And you're watching that Packers game last week as a Steelers fan, and you're thinking to yourself, I really hope the Packers pull this one out. Malik Willis played perfectly, and the Ravens still won.
Future Steelers quarterback Malik Willis.
I personally would love that, I think, and they should have drafted him back when they drafted Kenny Pickett. They should have picked Willis over Pickett that year.
That's another discussion. I don't, again, that's hindsight very much 2020, and at this point, I don't disagree with you. 412-928-9370. What's on your Pittsburgh sports wish list for 2026? And is this on it? Is Aaron Rodgers being this team's starting quarterback next season a part of your 2026 Pittsburgh sports wish list at 412-928-9370? I know that Mike Tomlin was asked about, you know, this potentially could be it for Aaron Rodgers in a Steelers uniform. Have you had time to reflect on what he's meant to the organization in the last year? Tomlin said, obviously, no. He hasn't had time to look back on it, but again, talked about what Aaron has accomplished as the Steelers quarterback. Aaron was asked about it yesterday. We're going to listen to Aaron Rodgers coming up at the top of the 12 o'clock hour. And I know that when Aaron Rodgers signed with the Steelers and went on Pat McAfee's show and talked about this season with the Steelers, he was asked, is this it? And he said, yeah, probably. But he's flirted with the idea of coming back. And he did on Wednesday. He did yesterday in front of the Steelers beat writers and the Steelers beat reporters. So I think that there is serious consideration on Rodgers' part to return to football in 2026. Are the Steelers interested in his services next year? And on the flip side of that, is he interested in returning to the Steelers? I think the Steelers should absolutely be interested in his services next year, number one. But on the flip side of that coin, I don't know how receptive Aaron Rodgers is to coming back to Pittsburgh. There might be better options out there. And one of them might be Minnesota. Minnesota was a team that reported up and down that he wanted to go to, and Minnesota didn't really want any parts of him because he was older, and they believed in J.J. McCarthy. Well, we know how that's turned out for the Vikings. So maybe now, if Minnesota's not dying to find a long-term replacement for J.J. McCarthy or looking to bring a veteran in to light the fire under him, Aaron Rodgers is going to be a free agent. So I think the Steelers, they're definitely going to be fighting against the battle of, does Aaron Rodgers want to return to football in 2026? And if he does, I think there might be a little bit of a battle for other teams out there as well. 412-928-9370. Dylan's up in Cranberry. Now he's in the Fan. Dylan, Happy New Year to you, good sir.
Happy New Year. Good morning. I don't necessarily know that I have a wish list, but I want the Pittsburgh Steelers to play with some grit on Sunday. Kirk Herbstreit said it best last year during that abysmal playoff game, and Starkey spoke about it this week. I just really want them to peel back the layers 20 years and play a smash mouth, put up your chin strap, you are going to get hit in the friggin' mouth. If they don't come out with that type of energy on Sunday, Derrick Henry and Keaton Mitchell are going to run all over them. So, no wish list, but can we please turn back a page and invoke some of the aggression that James Harrison played with, that Hines Ward played with at receiver? I mean, I could go on and on and on.
Well, Dylan,
Show up and play with grit, they're going to get smacked in the mouth.
To quote a much more successful Hillgrove than me, the phrase that my pap had always said was that the Steelers and Ravens should be played in a dark alley at midnight. And especially in that playoff game that you spoke about last year, the Steelers did not play with that dark alley at midnight mindset. And I think that you're hitting the nail on the head. That has to come back on Sunday night in the biggest game of the season, potentially the biggest game of the entire NFL season for all 32 teams.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's a good point, and I'll make one last point, and then I'll let you go. Harbaugh says it all the time. Just do your job. Don't do anything more than that. And I just would really love to see a full, complete football game on all three sides of the football and no BS excuses. Go out there, make tackles, give every route that you run MVS, work on your footwork, work on your release, catch the football, win the game. There it is.
Dylan and Cranberry, Happy New Year to you, good sir. That's a good point at the beginning of that call. Let's not have a repeat performance of what Kirk Herbstreit was so critical about. Because this game is just as big as that one. That was a Steelers-Ravens game in which it was win or go home. This one, the only difference is that it's not an official NFL playoff game.
Jack, I'm going to jump in here because while I was thinking about that and what you said about your grandpa saying that the Steelers and Ravens should be played in a dark alley at midnight, not on a football field. He's 100% right, and I hope the Steelers take that mentality into Sunday. I was kind of thinking along the same lines the other day, and it didn't gain much. I want to know if I get your will for this. I want to know if you are in on this with me. I said the Steelers should have a blackout at Acrisure Stadium, similar to how the Pirates did in the 2013 wild card game.
That'd be pretty cool. Should we call for one unofficially right now?
I'm all for
Let's
it.
Do
That's
it.
What I'm trying
I
to
mean,
do.
We're not the flagship home of the Steelers, obviously, but we talk about them quite often on these airwaves. Let's call for an unofficial blackout on Sunday night.
As of January 1st, 2026, the Steelers, Ravens, 8:25. Let's do it. Blackout at Acrisure Stadium. I'm all for it.
You heard it here first. We'll credit you with the idea, even though that I co-signed it. Fan Weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. It's cold out there. It's snowy. The roads were atrocious last night. 17 degrees in the Pittsburgh area, feels like 9. High's going to get up to maybe 31 today. Good day to eat some pork and sauerkraut and sit inside and watch some college football. Speaking of college football, what the hell happened to the Ohio State Buckeyes last night? And is Johnny the Barber okay? We'll get into a recap of that game. I have some thoughts on the college football playoff because of how that game transpired. And we'll look ahead to the three today. We'll do that in the next hour and also take your phone calls at 412-928-9370. How do you feel about the Steelers on Sunday? How much of a chance do you give them? 412-928-9370. And what's on your Pittsburgh sports wish list for 2026? All that and more. As the Pomp and Joe Show without either of those guys continue. Jeff Hathorn will join us at 1:25, and we're taking your phone calls all morning and into the afternoon at 412-928-9370. We'll be back in a moment at Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Fraction on X when I post.
That last segment was off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. And the Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We now head out to said Fan Hotline and check in with former Pittsburgh Penguin, Mr. Tyler Kennedy, who joins this program every Thursday. TK, appreciate you staying on the typical Thursday train with me as I fill in for the guys. Happy New Year to you, good sir. How's it going?
Good, buddy. How are you doing?
Not too bad. So I know you talked a little bit about it with Donnie yesterday, but since today is the, 18-year anniversary of that first ever Winter Classic, let's kind of go back down memory lane a little bit. What was the reaction inside the locker room when you guys figured out, because it was a new a new thing for the NHL, a Winter Classic, a game outdoors. When you guys found out that you were going to be participating in that, what was the reaction like? What was the excitement level like to be playing in, you know, an NHL game outdoors?
Well, for me, it was a little bit of a different story because I just got called up that year. So that was my first year getting called up. And when you get called up, everything, it's like you go from like the slow lane to the fast lane and everything's coming at you fast. You're enjoying everything from playing the games. And then my goal was to honestly just make it till Christmas. And then once I got there, then they're like, oh, we're playing the outdoor game. So I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. And then I started calling my family and I'm like, guys, the Penguins are playing an outdoor game. Would you guys want to come watch? We get 4 free tickets. And my uncle, my 2 cousins, and my brother came in. We got tickets, and it was unbelievable. But the energy of that day, of like the pregame, was unbelievable. And I didn't realize how big of a game it was until after. Even New Year's Eve, I was like, oh, we're playing outside. Like, this is cool. Like, I didn't really know much about, like, Buffalo, like, you know, Buffalo Mafia, like how they partied right. And how they celebrated their football game. So I was like, oh, this is going to be cool. This is not going to be that big. And then when it happened, I was like, wow, I should have had everyone I know at that game, but I didn't. So it was exciting. It was unbelievable. And I know from the guys around the room, like, everyone was very, very excited. And I said this on yesterday, the NHL, we play so many games during the year. It's like Groundhog Day a lot of the time, from going to Philadelphia, New York, Long Island, playing at home. Like, your schedule is so set. Mm-hmm. So when you play in these kind of games, it's such a good, like, break, a good refresher, because it just changes it up. And for me, like, people are like, oh, like, how dialed in were you on game day? I was like, dude, like, I was so dialed in that, like, I knew every 5 minutes of my day what I was going to be doing. It was crazy. So to have that and have, you know, the outcome of the Sid scoring, it was a pretty special year for me.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And it was a unique game because, right, Colby Armstrong scores almost immediately, and then Buffalo scored really early into the second period. So how do you kind of dictate the pace of that game with a whole lot of essentially nothing in the third period and overtime, and then it's like, oh my goodness, we're going into a shootout now?
Well, it was the game changed from the first period to the third period because the weather got worse, right? It started snowing harder. It started getting worse. So I think the coaching with Terry and them, it was more of, all right, boys, we have to keep this simple. Whatever team manages the puck the best out there is going to win. And our big focus was getting pucks deep, trying to spend more time in the offensive zone, trying to hem them in, and less playmaking. We didn't want to be going east-west. We wanted to go north-south, chip the puck in, and get to work. And we knew if we did that better than them, we would have success. And it was just a fun way to play hockey because it reminded you of your youth on the pond hockey, your childhood, and doing it on the big stage. And the ice being that bad was pretty cool because we couldn't play just like a regular system. It was all new. So that was the big thing. The big focus was less stick handling, less systems, and just getting pucks deep and trying to get some shots on net.
Tyler Kennedy with us on the Fan Hotline. Tyler, as we kind of shift into 2026, it was a rough end of the calendar year for the Penguins, especially in the early parts of the month of December, but they've won three of their last four. And finally, we get a pretty darn good day at the office from Stuart Skinner in net against the Hurricanes the other night, stopping 27 of 28. What kind of momentum can that start against Carolina and a team that's near the top of the division or at the top of the division? What kind of momentum can that spark for, you know, the goaltender the Penguins just traded for?
Well, from your first question, I think going into the break, it was like the perfect time for the Penguins to have a three-day break, right? Things were sliding. Things were getting ugly really bad. So they needed that three-day break more than maybe anyone in the league. So once they did that, they came back and it looked like they were fresh again, looked like they had their legs, looked like they were back into the system, kind of like they were at the beginning of the year. And then when you think of Skinner, like when I got traded, it takes a long time to find your routines, just get comfortable with the team. Like it does take time to find your game. And hopefully, you know, playing one game before the break, having some time to kind of get settled in with, like, literally unpack and get your family set up, I think that's going to help him a lot. And them getting two big wins and him playing well, it's just going to speed up the process of him playing better and better. And I think he's going to be a guy that's going to really blossom in the second half of the year just because of, one, he's out of Edmonton. Edmonton, the big thing there, there's so much pressure on him. He's a hometown guy. The pressure must have been through the roof. So I think when he comes here, he has a big game. I think he can really relax. I think he can really focus on the game and kind of block out that outside noise a lot easier. So I think him and some of the other guys coming that we traded for are going to have a really good second half. And it starts with him because, you know, going into the second half, when we think of, I always think of the year as like a meal, right? Like we're at the entree, you know, it just got sat down. This is a big part of the year. This is where you kind of rate your year at from here to like end of February. What kind of meal or what kind of year did we have, or where did we slip, or where did we kind of push through to get into playoffs? So these next games, this next month or 2 months is where they really have to string wins together, where they have to go on a winning string for 7-8 games. They can't do what they've done in the past, which is they won 2, lost 1, 1-3, lost 4, 1-1, lost 1. The big thing with good teams is they're able to win games consistently in this league, and that's the hardest thing to do in the NHL, and lately for the Pittsburgh Penguins. So getting those two big wins, hopefully it gets them at least a little bit starting to roll, because they need to start stringing games together to get into the playoffs.
Tyler Kennedy with us for a couple of more minutes. TK, as they get ready for 2026, and they're only a couple of points back from that final wild card spot, a couple of these trades that Kyle Dubas has made seem to be, at least on paper, could help the club in small ways. But could we potentially see, and obviously it depends on how things go in the month of January and into February, but could we potentially see a bigger move, so to speak, a buyer at the deadline kind of move that maybe Kyle Dubas has in the back pocket, because they have stacked up draft picks over the last couple of years? Do you think that maybe if they're in a spot to where they can make a push, they'd be willing to part with some of those more high-profile draft selections in the next couple of years to go out and maybe get a big name?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Well, I think Kyle Dubas, right now, he's in the process of rebuilding the team, finding young guys, building that draft, you know, the draft selections up, so he has some buying power. Do I think he's going to go out and buy an old veteran guy to make a push to the playoffs? No. But if there's a team that's looking maybe for one of our veterans and to get a young guy back, a young, talented guy back, I think Kyle Dubas is all ears. I think that's a great move. So I think he's definitely going to be answering the phone at trade deadline. I think he's looking at the next core after Sidney Crosby of Genny Malkin, Chris Letang. Because at the end of the day, everyone knows it's coming to an end. These guys can't play until they're 50. You know, so right. I think Kyle Dubas knows he needs to start building this young group of young talent. So when Sidney Crosby and those guys leave, the Pittsburgh Penguin fans still are excited to come to the rink and see these next generation guys win some hockey games. Because that might be, he might have the hardest job in the NHL right now as a GM, because we've had such a great core. Like, that core has been there for 20 years. It's scary. Like, that core, you've never had to worry about the next generation until the last 1 or 2 years. And now Kyle Dubas is coming up on that. And now when you think of the trades and what he's trying to do, he's trying to build the next core of Pittsburgh Penguins. And he's doing a good job, because he's Wilkes is doing good. Wilkes-Barre is doing a good job this year. They have a lot of young, great talent. And their draft picks, they have a ton of draft picks, so they have some room to play with. And when you look at the team now, like, we got Kindle, we have Koivunen, we have McGroarty. Like, they're the next group of young talent that might take another step. And it's probably not going from the third line to the first line, but it might be, you know, Kindle going from the second line, from the third line to the second line. Or McGroarty stepping up, you know?
Right.
So that's his process. And when you think of you know, Kyle Dubas, I think when he gets the job, he has a 5-year plan. He knows exactly what he's doing from this draft to this summer to who he's trying to go after this summer. Like, I think this guy is so dialed in and so in front of everyone else because he's got such an IQ for building teams. Like, I think he did a great job in Toronto and all that. But I think he's got a 5-year plan. And if he sees someone out there that's young that can fit into that plan of building that core, he's definitely going to be making moves at the trade deadline. And do I think it really matters? Do I think Kyle Dubas wants to make playoffs? Yeah, he wants to win. But is he going to sell everything and sell assets to get there? No, because that's not part of his big picture, not part of the plan.
Penguins are 3 points back of Buffalo for that final wild card spot as we speak, and they have a pretty darn tall task tonight, the top team in the Atlantic Division, Detroit, at 7 o'clock. TK, appreciate you as always. Happy New Year. Good to catch up with you, and much success for you in 2026. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's a little different. The New Year's Eve is a little different when you have kids.
Yeah.
I'm not staying up all night to party and have fun. I think I was in bed by 10:30 last night, sleeping by 11. So it's definitely a little bit different. So I feel pretty good today. But happy New Year. Thanks for having me, and let's go Pens.
There you go. All right. Thanks, Tyler. Appreciate you. Happy New Year to you. Yeah, that's all I always get New Year's Eve and New Year's Day off when we divide up the time off with myself and Rob Metzger. Shout out to Rob, our sports director at WTOV. I always get New Year's off because he's got a 9-year-old daughter and a 5 or 6-year-old son. So he's like, I'm not getting into anything crazy on New Year's Eve. So after the kids go to bed, I'll go anchor a couple of sports casts. So that's how it always works. But again, last night I knew I was going to be hosting today, but I didn't want to get into anything too crazy last night. And if anybody drove last night, hopefully, number one, you did it sober. Number two, it was, even if that's the case, it was tough out there on the roadways. So my girlfriend and I went home at like 1:30, and it was not pleasant. It was like
it was a whiteout.
Yeah, it was like a 25-minute drive from my buddy's house back to ours that took 45 to 50 minutes.
I was driving back from here, and it said the estimated time to get home was around an hour, and it ended up taking me an hour and a half because of how slow I had to go. I couldn't see more than 2 feet in front of me because of the snow squalls. It was bad.
Yeah, not great. Not great. That was Tyler Kennedy, former Penguin, the 18th anniversary of the Winter Classic against the Sabres. Just an all-time great Penguins moment. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates. That's a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. All right. Let's open up the phones at 412-928-9370. What is on your Pittsburgh sports wish list for 2026? I went through mine before the end of 2025 in the final show of the last calendar year that I hosted. So I want to hear from you at 412-928-9370. What's on your Pittsburgh sports wish list for 2026? Take your calls, and we're with you until 2 o'clock. I'm Jack Hillgrove, filling in for the guys on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. 2026. We made it, folks. A happy new year to you and yours from all of us here at 93.7 The Fan. Hopefully this 2026 is filled with health, success, and kick-ass moments. That's what I'm hoping for myself, for the people I hold near and dear. It's the time of year, Logan Arblaster, where people can be very optimistic for themselves and their loved ones. And unless you're hyper-fixated on the Steelers-Ravens matchup in a negative way, which you might be, and we'll get into that at 412-928-9370, not a whole lot of cause or need to be very pessimistic this time of year, if you ask me. It's a good time to wipe the slate clean and really focus on personal success and growth year in and year out. I know the folks that manage and work at local gyms might not feel that way because gym memberships obviously go through the roof this time of year because of the New Year's resolutions. But I don't know. It's an exciting time. And last night, spending it with friends that I hold near and dear, and we've made that a yearly tradition with my best friends since we were in fourth grade. Like, every time a year passes, you know, the fact that one more year of friendship is in the books, it's pretty cool. It kind of gets me emotional, too. I don't know. And I wasn't even...
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think New Year's is one of the best holidays because it's always a time to hit the reset button, see everybody, you know, capitulate with them about what they've been doing throughout the year and what their goals are for the next year. And in terms of Pittsburgh sports, the Steelers have to hit the reset button this week in a big game coming up on Sunday. So lots of fun stuff to talk about today, Jack. And I produced the show last night to take out the year of 2025, and I'm glad that we can bring in the year of 2026 together.
Hell yeah, man. Absolutely. And I want to ring in the year, new year, with you at 412-928-9370. I did a segment on this when we hosted together, what was that, the day after Christmas?
Yes, it was the day after Christmas.
Did we do this show or did we do an evening show? I can't.
We did this show.
Okay. It all runs together because I'm on tomorrow evening and then Sunday morning. So this time of year, it all kind of runs together. But we did a segment together on that last show that you and I did together in 2025 of a Pittsburgh sports wish list in 2026. I will rehash that, and I want to hear yours at 412-928-9370. What are you hoping happens to our sports teams in this town in the calendar year of 2026? 412-928-9370. But it's also a good time to reflect on the last 12 months and reflect on the year that we just had. And in this first segment, we are going to do so. So without further ado, let's take a look back at 2025 and some of the top stories. Some good, some not so good, of the calendar year of 2025. And we'll start in January, and sure as hell hope that this doesn't rear its ugly head this January. That is, of course, the wild card playoff loss in Baltimore a year ago, in which the Steelers gave up 299 rushing yards to Derrick Henry and the Baltimore Ravens. Again, hopefully that's not a deja vu situation as we get set for Sunday in Acrisure Stadium. But to me, that's the biggest thing that stuck out last season. Another playoff loss, another season in which Mike Tomlin can't get this team into the divisional round of the playoffs. And of course, that ultimately led to where we are with Aaron Rodgers as this team's quarterback. And fittingly enough, Logan, I don't know if you were able to tune into the New Year's Rockin' Eve last night with Ryan Seacrest, but did you see who was up there ringing in the New Year in Times Square with good old Seacrest?
I didn't stay up for it. One, because I honestly think it's one of the overrated things in the world is staying up to see the ball drop. I don't know if it's one of those things that I've seen so many times in my 21 years of living that I'm just tired of seeing it, but I also had to get up early this morning to come back here today. But I did see Russell Wilson was up there.
And he was.
It kind of shocked me.
Yep. Good. I'm really glad that ABC was able to pull out the woodwork and really dig deep to get the Giants' third string quarterback to ring in the new year. Obviously, the draw there is his superstar wife in Ciara, and she performed afterwards. But
it seemed like he was a bit of an afterthought.
Yeah. And I was thinking about, oh man, what else can we put for January for the top sports stories of 2025? And as soon as I saw Russ up there, with his wife counting down the ball drop with Ryan Seacrest, I thought, yeah, I guess that's pretty much it. Also, intern Dom, horrendous take on Twitter yesterday, which has become commonplace these days for that kid.
I was going to say, no kidding.
Yeah.
What did he put out this time?
It was something along the lines of, you know, can't wait to watch Ryan Seacrest tonight, the host of all hosts. And I just simply responded with a picture of Dick Clark. Because, I mean, Dick Clark is new. Like, when you think of New Year's Eve, you think of Dick Clark. And
well, this is coming
he
from...
died. He died in 2012, and I was only 15 years old. So I think my age still think of Dick Clark. I remember watching him, and obviously he wasn't the same. I think he had a stroke, but still participated in the ball drop after that. I remember watching him growing up, and obviously the show carries his name. So I respond to Dom with the picture of Dick Clark from the 80s or the 90s, you know, vintage Dick Clark on New Year's Eve.
Okay.
And the response I get was, he walked so Seacrest could run. Mind you, where he attends school, Syracuse University, and somewhere in the Newhouse School of Broadcasting, they have the Dick Clark Studios. What are you doing?
Yeah, you would think would be a common respect thing for him.
You would think. I don't know. You would think, but again, just chalk that up for another horrendous.
If it was up to Dom, he would probably want Joe Burrow to be up there. He said he was going to be the NFL MVP this season.
How's that working out for him? February, in the Pittsburgh sports stories, top ones in my mind in 2025, and there really weren't a lot in the beginning of the year. Business didn't pick up until June. Middle of May. The only story that I could think of, and again, if I'm missing anything, please reach out at 412-928-9370. Remember when Spencer Horwitz all of a sudden had that wrist issue and then all of a sudden needed surgery for said wrist issue?
The big offseason move for the Pirates.
The big offseason move for the Pirates just had a glaring problem with his wrist that needed surgery, and it delayed his debut in Pittsburgh. And everybody was like, what the hell? Where did this come from? So that reared its ugly head in February of 2025. March, the trade for DK Metcalf. I had a very funny moment on social media with this trade. Quarterbacks were going off the board. Justin Fields ended up signing with the Jets. Sam Darnold left. And then it seemed like the Steelers were dragging their feet with what they were doing at quarterback. And I think hindsight at this point is 20/20, because it ended up working out in the fact that Justin Fields wasn't very good and isn't very good, and his run in New York with the Jets is probably over. Russell Wilson, not bringing him back seemed to be the smart move, and then Aaron Rodgers, I think, was the best of the bunch. Anywho, I tweeted something along the lines of, you know, the fact that the Steelers are dragging their feet, so to speak, with the quarterback position would mean that no high-profile wide receiver would sign to play in Pittsburgh. And then, not even an hour later, they trade for DK Metcalf and sign him to a 5-year extension. So I quote tweeted myself. I got ahead of it before I got on Old Takes Exposed and everybody was, you know, trying to slam dunk on me. I quote tweeted it with the video of Happy Gilmore in Chubbs' office. I was wrong. You were right. I'm dumb. You're smart. You're the best. I'm the worst. And that got a good laugh out of the masses.
You know what's funny is thinking back to that time and everybody saying they don't want Aaron Rodgers to come to Pittsburgh. He doesn't have anything left. He doesn't want to take football seriously, and how kind of the narrative has changed over time to this January. I don't think people would be opposed to him coming back. And so it's interesting to see. But kind of to tie in my recap of January 2025 and February 2025, you were talking about the Steelers. I wanted to go back to that for a moment with Russell Wilson. They were 10-3 at one point last year, Jack.
Yeah, they were.
And that was in December, but it all fell apart in January. And they had a chance to really go on a run, and it seems to be shaping up the same way this year, where they had a chance to win the division, and they're going to collapse, and it's just a thing that keeps happening year after year after year. But in February, things were pretty slow. It was really the Spencer Horwitz thing for the Pirates that stuck out the most there for me.
Yeah, hopefully DK Metcalf's enjoying himself right now. I think a lot of the reason why we're in the position we're in is his fault, and he and his trade and signing in March was the only thing that stuck out in as far as the Pittsburgh sports stories go in 2025. We moved to April.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system, It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Top Pittsburgh sports stories of the last calendar year. How about the fans? How about you people setting the tone in PNC Park in 2025? A plane flying around the North Shore the morning of the home opener. Sell the team, Bob.
They didn't even make it to the second home game.
Derek Shelton greeted with thunderous boos in that ballpark and sell the team chants galore. That set the tone for an abysmal 12 and whatever it was, 26 start to the season, and set the precedent for the biggest sports story, I think, in this town in the month of May, and that was the fact that they moved on from Derek Shelton. Fired Derek Shelton. How about all on the same day while I was out on the golf course because it occurred on a day that I was off and playing golf, Logan?
There was like that two-week stretch of, are they going to fire him? Are they not going to fire him?
Within like a three-hole stretch, new Pope, Derek Shelton got fired. I forget which one came first.
Did you hit a hole in one next?
No.
Oh.
No. But yeah, and then it was new Pope. Holy crap, the new Pope's an American. Derek Shelton got fired. You want to talk about a...
It would have been a better story if you would have just lied and said that you hit a hole in one.
Yeah, but
Don't let the truth get in the way of telling a good story.
All right. I'll remember that for next time. Speaking of golf, June, in one of the coolest finishes to a golf tournament ever... It happened in one of Pittsburgh's suburbs at Oakmont Country Club. J.J. Spahn winning the U.S. Open in dramatic fashion, draining like a 70-foot putt on 18 to be the only player to finish under par and win the U.S. Open. I covered it every day. I spent like close to $800 on Peter Millar merch. Not proud of it. I did it. It happened. It's okay. It was hands down the most fun I've ever had covering a sporting event ever. And I'm counting the days down to when it comes back in 2033. The USGA is phenomenal. And they kicked ass all week long and all months and months long leading up to the US Open. And then obviously else in June, Aaron Rodgers finally decides to sign with the Steelers. Steelers also trade Minkah Fitzpatrick for Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith. I actually lied. I did not cover the US Open every single day. I missed... I think it was one of the practice rounds. I think it was a Wednesday of mandatory minicamp, and that was the day that Aaron Rodgers came to Pittsburgh and had his opening, you know, media meeting, so to speak, when there were tons and tons of people there.
Well, if you remember back, we had that 24-hour marathon broadcast here at the Fan.
Yes.
So everybody was preparing in case he did sign.
Because that was the first, at the end of the first week of June.
Yes.
The marathon, yeah.
And so we were on the air 24 hours straight, and it worked out perfectly because he signed right smack dab in the middle of that, and there were so many reads that we had to get through that day because there was advertisements relating to the day, and everybody handled it perfectly, but it was complete chaos there at that time in June.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the bigger sports stories of the year. Let's go to July of the 2025 Pittsburgh Sports Recap. Ben Cherington masterclass at the trade deadline. And flat out admitting to the masses on the record, yeah, we could have got better players for David Bednar, but we like this package more, which is one of the dumber things a general manager of any sports team can say on the record, if you ask me. And it ended up being one of the worst trade deadlines, I think, ever. Hopefully, Rafael Flores can be in the conversation to contribute to the big club in 2026, but, you know, off the cuff, I would rather have David Bednar in that bullpen right now. What else in July? The TJ Watt contract extension. I was hosting the evening show that night, and it was one of those days where it's like, man, training camp's not quite here yet. The Pirates stink. It's not quite close enough to the deadline where we could really hammer home some trade deadline, you know, speculative stuff. What the hell am I going to talk about? And at like 4 o'clock, boom, TJ Watt extension. I'm like, There's my show.
Would you think the Steelers would be better off this year if they put that money into the offense opposed to the defense?
Yeah. I mean, I was an advocate for it at the time because, you know, as the Steelers is my favorite football team, I want them to win every game that they play. And this roster and the way that it was constructed at the time that TJ Watt signed the contract extension was they're trying to do everything they can to win now. I don't know how well equipped they are, but that's the clear goal. They're not in rebuilding mode by any means necessary. If they're going to try and win a Super Bowl in 2025, to me, I thought, well, yeah, TJ Watt is a part of that story because they were 1-10, 1-11 without him. And I understand that his productivity has been down the last couple of years, and I think that's in large part because of, you know, the chips and double teams that he faces snap in and snap out. He's still somebody the defenses have to worry about. And $41 million is a lot of money, but the way that they did it, it aligned with even if they drafted a quarterback in 2026. And this was before we figured out that the quarterback class was going to be terrible and that the Steelers are probably not going to take a quarterback in the first round this year. Even if they did, that quarterback's rookie contract would not be up until this TJ Watt extension was. So when TJ Watt's $41 million over the next 3 years is done, then you would have to start thinking about paying a franchise quarterback and budgeting that. So it would have lined up to where if they would have drafted a guy in the first round, you wouldn't have had to worry about paying a quarterback $41 million a year too. So that's why I was in favor for it. But now, again, hindsight is very much 2020. They won those two games without TJ Watt. Granted, they lost to the Browns, but that Ravens game and the Lions game, or I'm sorry, the Dolphins game and the Lions game, they won without him. So, and the defense looked pretty darn good. And Nick Herbig and Alex Highsmith have been playing pretty well in his absence.
Yeah, hindsight's 2020 for me, Jack. The NFL is just shifting to such a offensive-minded game where everybody that has offensive coordinators or head coaches that think offensive-minded opposed to defensive-minded seem to be succeeding even more when you go down the narrow road in December and January. So I think when you're looking back on it, if you're like, the Steelers could have put that money into the offensive side of the ball, a lot of these teams that are winning, they have two good wide receivers. They have two great wide receivers or playmakers, and that's $35, $40 million. If you put in the offensive side of the ball, maybe the Steelers are better off. But the positive side to look at it, if you're looking at it from TJ Watt is still in Pittsburgh and they made the right move, I feel like is this lung punctured situation could end up being a blessing in disguise for the Steelers. And I say that because he had a chance to rest the rest of his body.
Yeah.
And he could be coming into this stretch fully healthy again. So maybe we'll get a TJ Watt that they hoped for before he was injured.
And Jeff Hathorn joined Pat Bostic on the Fan Morning Show. We'll catch up with Jeff before the end of the show as well, as far as, you know, how today looks one day closer to Steelers Ravens. So that was July. August 1st. The Pittsburgh Pirates were up 16-11 heading into the bottom of the ninth inning against the 28-80 Colorado Rockies. And those 28-80 Colorado Rockies scored 5 runs in the bottom of the ninth inning and beat the Pirates 17-16. Dennis Santana giving up all 5 of those runs in a third of an inning. I was watching that game in a local watering hole back when I still lived in Steubenville, and I just remember sitting there laughing my ass off. Because at that point, obviously, you know, the Pirates were 40-something and 60-something, and their season, while it wasn't as bad as what the Rockies were dealing with, was pretty much lost, and I just laughed at that whole situation. And that was, and then, you know, you get into August and it's preseason football and you're really gearing up for Aaron Rodgers. September was the Aaron Rodgers debut and Don Kelly extended as the Pirates manager. The interim tag, I don't even know that the interim tag was ever on Don Kelly. They just named him manager once Derek Shelton was fired and then extended his contract as manager. So he's the big club's guy heading into 2026, and we'll see. October of the Pittsburgh sports storylines of 2025. Aaron Rodgers going up against his former team on a Sunday night. Steelers obviously laid an egg in that one, and the Packers offense scored, what, 35 points? And on a more positive note, until it turned into losing to ECU in a bowl game, Mason Heinchel's first career start as a Pitt Panther came on October the 4th against Boston College, and they whooped on the Eagles and Bill O'Brien. And for a long time, it was, holy crap, Pitt's got a quarterback again. And the tide of the season is turned. And yeah, maybe the Panthers can get into the ACC championship and fight their way into the college football playoff. Giant brick walls of Miami and Notre Dame, and we'll talk about Miami and how about that win last night. Somebody check on Johnny the Barber. That kind of derailed things, college game day, but you don't get the college game day hype in the lead up to the Notre Dame game and all that was without Mason Heinchel coming in and really turning the season around. So his first start was a top sports story for me in October. November, Paul Skenes winning the Cy Young, and that infamous Bills game at home. Fire Tomlin, booing Renegade. And then how about the Pittsburgh Riverhounds winning the USL Championship in November of 2025? Bring a title home to the Steel City. And then a lot that we just endured in December. For the Pirates, trading for Brandon Lau and signing Ryan O'Hearn. The Pittsburgh Penguins, they were sold to the Hoffman Group. Sidney Crosby passed Mario Lemieux on the all-time points list. Pitt volleyball lost in a fifth consecutive Final Four. And of course, I think the biggest one is that loss to the Browns set up what we're about to endure on Sunday. A winner-take-all match.
It out.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.